his brain loose. The simulated G-forces, as he rolled his ship out of the way, made his bones feel as if they were stretching under his skin. He drove the joystick down, panic catching him by the throat and squeezing. The simulator made the dive feel real. Luke's stomach lurched with the suddenness of it, but he couldn't focus on the feeling for long. A TIE fighter appeared on a screen, and before he could react, he slammed right into it. A fireball overtook the image of space, only to be replaced by blackness and two words, simulation over. The words burned worse than any sun. Luke sat back again, shocked and sickened at how badly he'd blown his test. Literally.
At least you took out one Imperial ship when you went, Wedge said cheerfully.
He leaned into the cockpit again.
I don't have this, Luke said.
How stupid could he have been to think it would be anything like the flying he'd done back home? The T-16 seemed like a toy in comparison. He was going to throw up. He really was.
Wedge didn't laugh. Hey, Luke, it's all right.
I want this, Luke interrupted, hating the desperation he heard in his voice. I want this more than anything. I've wanted this for as long as I can remember, and I can't even make it 10 seconds.
Hey, you made it 30 seconds, Wedge pointed out. That's nothing to sniff at, believe me. The first time I tried the simulator, I was down in less than 10.
Really? Luke couldn't believe that. Wedge's name was at the top of the high scores chart.
Then how? I practiced and listened to the advice I got from the old vets. You didn't let me finish before, Wedge explained. I was going to walk you through the different controls and systems. You're eager. I get it. But no one here expects you to have flown something as complex as an X-Wing. It's not so hard once you get the hang of it, but you have to give yourself a few minutes to do it. Okay?
Luke nodded, feeling a fresh wave of embarrassment.
Sorry. About before, I mean. I should have listened.
He had proven all of Han's smug put-downs about his flying abilities right. That stung a bit more than he wanted to admit. It was hard not to feel a little foolish.
Wedge waved him off. Nothing to be sorry for. It's something we all learn. I think you're going to be an amazing pilot. Really. Half of it is confidence, so don't lose what you have. Let's clear out those results and start over, okay?
This time, Luke swallowed his eagerness and pride and paid attention as Wedge pointed out all the controls, half of which he hadn't even noticed in all his scrambling to keep the X-Wing flying. He asked questions and concentrated when Wedge explained slight variations in the thrusters and the difference between relying on yourself to fly and giving the controls over to the astromech droid at the back of the ship so you could focus on shooting.
I'll be honest, Wedge said. The droids tend to have a better response time with evasive maneuvers, but sometimes instinct is the only thing that keeps you flying.
Luke nodded, setting his jaw as he absorbed all the information. Looking at the controls again, he began to make connections to the simpler ones he had used hundreds of times in his T-16. The ships weren't that different when it came down to it. He was finally feeling energized, not overwhelmed, at the prospect of the additional mobility and firepower of the X-Wing.
See? Wedge said. You do know your ships. Can I give you one last piece of advice?
Yes, Luke said.
Please.
Wedge rested his arms on the edge of the cockpit.
The time you stay in the fight matters less to Commander Willard than the readings and results he gets on how calm and composed you are. The simulator is designed to be impossible to beat. You're supposed to struggle and get shot down. In a real battle, you have an entire squadron backing you up. But the only way to improve as a pilot is to constantly come up against the impossible and push yourself to the limits. We all use the simulator to do just that. So just concentrate on keeping your cool and trust your instincts. Okay?
Trust your instincts. Luke ran the words over and over in his mind. Ben had told him the same thing as he trained with the lightsaber.
He reached for that settled feeling he'd obtained on the Millennium Falcon as he listened to Ben's musical voice telling him about the Force, how it wouldn't abandon him, how he could always rely on it. Using the sword had just clicked from that point on. If he could find that place again, Luke thought he could do more than just hang in the simulator for a few minutes.
Okay, he said. I think I'm ready to try again. Good.
Wedge crossed back over to the computer and typed something in. He gave Luke a thumbs up. When he was ready, Luke returned it.
He could do this. He wasn't going to let his dream crash and burn.
The simulator went through its series of blinks again, counting down to chaos. This time, Luke was prepared for what he'd see. The moment the battle came into view, he switched on his targeting screen and went to work.
Use the Force, Ben's voice whispered in his ear. Reach out for it.
Luke didn't know if that was what he was doing, but he felt his death grip on the joystick ease, something warm filling him at his center. He was aware that he was aiming, firing, shooting. At some point, he must have switched over to manual control of the ship, because he was rotating the joystick faster and faster, zipping in and out of explosions and clusters of Imperial ships. Avoiding them came as easily as avoiding beggars, canyons, sharp edges, and deadly turns. The cockpit rattled around him as he took some fire, but he rolled the ship, feeling of exhilaration, of total lightness, lifting him higher and higher and higher until he felt almost giddy. It was how he had felt the first time he successfully threaded the spindle of rock, the stone needle back in Beggar's Canyon. He clicked into the moment. All too soon, he saw how the simulator had been rigged against the user. For every TIE fighter he shot down, two more appeared. Soon it became just a matter of numbers. Not even the most skilled pilot could have lasted long against 40 enemy ships. Simulation over. Adrenaline left his blood thrumming in his veins, even after he removed his helmet and sat back. He was dimly aware of a sound to his left. Clapping. Wedge and three other pilots in orange jumpsuits were hooting and cheering for him.
Incredible, one of them said, helping Luke down out of the cockpit. You beat Wedge's record.
Luke flushed again.
Sorry about that?
Don't be sorry, Wedge said. Stars, I'm just glad you're on our side. What did I tell you? You're a natural.
His body was trembling a little, late catching up to the strain he'd subjected it to and trying to keep up with the pace of the simulator. The fatigue felt weirdly good. It meant he'd done something right and gone all out in the process.
Only because you helped me, he replied. When you write your autobiography, be sure to include that, okay?
I owe everything to Wedge Antilles.
Wedge and the other pilots laughed. One of them wrote Luke's name at the top of the score chart, and Luke felt pride wash over him. But he wouldn't let himself celebrate yet. He wrung his hands in front of him, looking among their faces.
Do you think I passed?
One of the older pilots, his hair flecked with gray, looked at Luke, eyes shining.
Commander Willard will review the results, but I think it's safe to start fitting you for a jumpsuit. That is, if you still want to join our squadron.
Luke thought his heart might explode in his chest. He kept his arms pressed tightly against his sides to stop himself from throwing them around the other pilot.
There's nothing I want more.
Chapter 17. Between getting Commander Willard's official okay to fly and finding himself a flight suit and helmet, there wasn't time for Luke to find Leia or Han to tell them the news. The pilots from both squadrons, red and gold, were summoned to the large war room for a briefing. Luke figured that they must have already gone through the technical readouts on R2-D2 and told Wedge as much as they entered the enormous briefing area. Luke had been schooled at home by his very patient aunt, and therefore had never been inside a classroom. But he imagined that the war room was set up the way a lecture hall might be. Rows of seats led down to a large electronic wall display. where Commander Willard stood with another man Luke didn't recognize. It felt very formal, official in a way that made Luke walk a little taller, push his shoulders back. He only hoped he didn't stand out as a rookie as much as he thought he did. Every now and then, a new pair of eyes would drift over, and he'd feel himself being sized up.
I just have to prove myself to them, too, Luke thought. That's General Dodonna, Wedge said,
as he led Luke through a line of feet and legs to get to two empty seats at the center of the row.
He's a brilliant tactician. He was so good in his service to the Empire, they picked him to be one of the first captains of a Star Destroyer.
Got it, Luke said.
Another thought occurred to him.
Was most of the Alliance in the Imperial forces at some point?
Wedge set his mouth in a tight line.
Not everyone. Some of us joined to right the wrongs they inflicted on us, and the people we love.
Luke let the subject drop, knowing that poking an exposed wiring never got you anything but shocked and burned. He scanned the room, his ears picking up on snippets of quiet conversations. His back went straighter as Leia and a small group of older men entered and took seats near the projector screen. Luke tried to catch her attention, but the princess was so focused on her conversation with the older gentleman to her right, she didn't look up. The murmuring dropped into silence as General Dodonna stepped up to a small podium and the screen behind him flashed to life. Looming large, sketched out in lines, was the technical blueprint of the Death Star.
Wow, Wedge said. Is that thing as big as I think it is?
Bigger,
Luke said quietly. Sometimes he had a hard time wrapping his head around just how enormous the battle station was.
Welcome, everyone. I'll get right to the point, General Dodonna said. We have analyzed the plans provided by Princess Leia and believe we have developed a strategy for destroying the battle station known as the Death Star.
Luke leaned forward in his seat, hands clasped. They'd already come up with something? Probably not a second too soon, if Leia's theory about the battle station tracking them back to the Rebel base was right.
The Death Star is heavily shielded and carries firepower greater than half the Starfleet's. Its defenses have been designed to withstand a full assault by an enemy army. But while it's easy to see a large fleet of cruisers and destroyers and hold back a tide, we believe a small one-man fighter should be able to slip through the outer defenses.
The leader of Gold Squadron stood up slowly.
Pardon me for asking, sir, but what good are snub fighters going to be against that?
I'm getting to that,
General Dodonna said, clicking through to the next slide. The new schematic showed a cross-section of the Death Star.
The approach will not be easy. Pilots will need to maneuver straight down this trench and skim the surface of the battle station until you reach this point.
Why that point?
Luke wondered. It looked like any other part of the surface.
The target area is only 2 meters wide. It's a small thermal exhaust port, right below the main port. The shaft leads directly to the reactor system.
The screen changed, showing a demonstration of 2 torpedoes entering the shaft and traveling down its length to the enormous energy reactor at the center of the Death Star.
A precise hit will start a chain reaction in the core, turning it into a bomb, causing the battle station to implode.
There was a moment of silence before the room broke out in cries of disbelief. The general continued undaunted.
Only a precise hit will set up a chain reaction. The shaft is ray-shielded, so you'll have to use proton torpedoes.
Luke nodded, processing the news with outright relief. So there was a chance. It might have been only a 2-meter-wide chance, but a chance all the same.
They could do it. That's impossible, even for a computer,
Wedge said, shaking his head.
It's not impossible,
Luke said loudly enough for the others to hear. The pilots sitting around him turned in their seats, pinning him with looks that ranged from curious to confused.
It maybe wasn't the best way to introduce himself to the rest of the rebellion, but there were bigger things to worry about than making a good first impression. A negative attitude would keep the pilots grounded long enough for the Empire to destroy everything they'd built.
I used to bullseye womp rats in my T-16 back home. They're not much bigger than 2 meters, and I didn't have any kind of targeting programs. We can do this.
Well, better than a few centimeters, right? Wedge said. The pilots around him nodded.
Come on, Luke said, smiling. I was doing that when I was 13. You guys have decades of experience between you, right? Prove it.
Garvin Dries, the leader of the Red Squadron, laughed.
That's true. Can't let a kid show us up, can we?
Luke turned back to General Dodonna, who was studying him from the front of the room. Beside the general, Leia was smiling, her hands clasped in front of her. The tone of the murmurs around Luke shifted, rising on that small bubble of optimism.
We've received reports that the Death Star will enter the system within the next 20 minutes, General Dodonna said. Man your ships and prepare to deploy immediately. Good luck.
That's our cue, Wedge said, standing. You ready?
Yeah.
Luke searched over the heads of the other pilots for Leia, but she had already slipped out of the room. Back to the command center? There was still time to seek her out for a goodbye, but the flow of energy and bodies out of the room was carrying him straight back to the hangar. He let himself go with it, the hum of anxious excitement from the others feeding his own. Luke was nearly bouncing in his boots by the time he met up with C-3PO and R2-D2.
Master Luke, is it true R2 will be accompanying you?
If that's all right with R2, Luke said, grinning.
The little droid's head spun around as he squealed, lights flashing.
I'll take that as a yes.
But nothing could have brought Luke's mood crashing down faster than seeing Han and Chewbacca loading small boxes onto the Millennium Falcon. Their reward. Payment the Rebellion could hardly afford to lose. As they worked, they ignored everything happening around them, including the dirty glances the pilots were shooting their way.
All flight troops, man your stations.
The announcement faded under the hustle and bustle of the technicians and flight crews running around.
All flight troops, man your stations.
Luke pushed his way through the workers, dodging the carts and transports zigzagging around him. It was stupid to feel so crushed at the thought of Han leaving. But Luke had already lost so many people over the previous few days.
Luke had just wanted his friend to see what Luke had seen in him. So you got your reward and you're just leaving?
Luke called, trying to keep the hurt out of his voice. He had never expected Han to stay for him, exactly. But how could Han leave seeing what the Rebellion was up against?
That's right, yeah. I got some old debts I gotta pay off with this stuff. Even if I didn't, you don't think I'd be fool enough to stick around here, do you?
Luke shook his head. No, Han was no fool. If he could just get over himself, he'd be something great.
Hey, why don't you come with us? Han said. You're pretty good in a fight. We could use you.
Chewbacca backed up his statement with an enthusiastic roar. Luke's frustration flashed into anger.
Come on! Why don't you take a look around? You know what's about to happen, what they're up against. They could use a good pilot like you. You're turning your back on them.
What good's a reward if you ain't around to use it?
Han shrugged, but seemed to be looking everywhere but at Luke.
Besides, attacking that battle station ain't my idea of courage. It's more like suicide. Can't you see that? You're throwing your life away for people you've just met.
This might be hard for you to understand, but I believe in what they're trying to do. I'm proud to be a part of it, no matter what happens.
Luke waited for Han to say something, but the captain kept his head down, steadily passing boxes to Chewbacca.
All right.
Luke threw his hands up in the air. Trying to get through to Han was about as effective as trying to walk through a wall.
Well, take care of yourself, Han. I guess that's what you're best at, isn't it?
He turned to go, only to be pulled back around by Han's voice.
Hey, Luke.
Han said, a faint smile on his face.
May the Force be with you.
Even though there was a real possibility Han was making fun of Luke again for jumping into Ben's lessons, Luke chose to take his words as sincere. Thanks. See you around? There was nothing more to say. Luke made his way toward the row of X-wings being prepped for flight, and was surprised to see a familiar face waiting for him there with R2-D2.
Thought I'd let you go without wishing you good luck?
Leia said, with a rare smile.
I heard you did amazingly well on your test.
Luke suddenly found the ground incredibly interesting as heat flooded his cheeks.
I guess.
What's wrong?
He sighed.
Oh, it's just Han. I don't know. I thought I could change his mind.
Putting a hand on his shoulder, Leia said,
He's got to follow his own path. No one can choose it for him.
She stood up on her toes and kissed Luke's cheek.
Fly well. I'll see you when you get back.
He managed a small smile and a wave as she went to meet with General Dodonna. Luke took a deep breath, twisting around to look up at his ship. Luke?
Luke!
He spun, searching for the source of the voice.
It couldn't be. There was no way. Biggs Darklighter! His best friend came barreling across the hangar toward him. He burst into thrilled laughter at the sight of Luke, staring at him, dumbstruck. Luke! I don't believe it. How'd you get here? I was out on patrol. Wait, are you going out with us? Luke accepted his enthusiastic hug and returned it with one of his own. He should have known.
A short time before Luke's life had been upended, Biggs had made a surprise visit back to Tatooine from the Imperial Academy, stopping by to see his friends at Anchorhead. Luke couldn't lie. He had been jealous of Biggs when he escaped Tatooine for the Academy, but the sight of his friend in a full uniform had choked him up with more than a little envy. Biggs was out ahead of him. Some part of him had accepted that it would always be that way between them. They were an unlikely pair of friends. Everyone said so. The Darklighters owned 20 moisture farms to Uncle Owen's one. Biggs had always had the very best of everything growing up. Clothes, land speeders, a new skyhopper each time another model was released. He'd never held it over Luke's head or made Luke feel like he was something less, but Luke had always sensed how different their lives were. And it wasn't until Biggs had gone and left him behind for the Academy that he had realized how different their futures were, too. But on that last trip to Tatooine, Biggs had pulled Luke aside from their little group of friends, Fixer, Cammy, Deke, and Windy, and confessed something to him. He was going to bail on the Academy and join the Rebellion. Luke couldn't believe he hadn't put the pieces together until that moment. Oh man, do I have some stories for you! Luke was grinning so hard his entire face ached. This was incredible! Of all the people to run into! Biggs knocked a fist into Luke's shoulder. I've got to go get aboard. Listen, you'll tell me your stories when we get back, all right? Biggs started jogging for a nearby X-wing. I told you I'd make it someday, Biggs! Luke called after him. His friend held up his arms in the air, echoing the triumph Luke felt. You did, all right! It's gonna be like old times! Luke gripped the ladder of his ship, starting the short climb up. His heart was racing like crazy, the way it had each time his skyhopper had clipped a wing passing through the narrow canyon. The crew chief had to wave his arms to get Luke's attention.
This R2 unit of yours seems a bit beat up, the man called, gesturing to where the droid was being lifted into the socket at the back of the ship. Do you want a new one?
Not on your life, Luke shouted back, swinging his legs into the cockpit. That little droid and I have been through a lot together.
He switched on the comlink to the droid.
You okay back there, R2?
The cheerful whistling he got in response was enough to make him grin again as he clipped his helmet on. The glass and metal canopy was lowered over him and sealed into place. Fiddling with his heavy leather gloves, Luke watched the last gasp of activity below. As he went through the ignition sequence, A soft, familiar voice whispered in his ear.
Luke, the Force will be with you.
He just about jumped out of his skin in surprise. It was like on the Death Star. That was Ben's voice. No, that was his mind playing games with him. Luke leaned back against the seat, closing his eyes. It was happening. It was all finally happening. He had R2 at his back. He had Wedge's lessons. And now he had Biggs out there flying with him. He was ready.
Chapter 18.
They shot up through the atmosphere, winging into space in a tight formation. The Y-wings fanned out around Luke's squad as they rounded Yavin 4 and came face to face with the Death Star. Whoa. Luke couldn't tell which pilot had let his surprise slip, but Luke didn't blame him. The first time he'd seen the battle station, his insides had twisted into tiny little knots. Now he just felt like he was soaring, and he was chasing the feeling full throttle. The X-Wing was nothing like flying his Skyhopper, or the simulator.
All wings report in,
Red Leader called. They moved down the roster. Biggs chimed in as Red 3, Wedge as Red 2. Red 5 standing by, Luke said when it was his turn.
Lock S-foils in attack position,
Red Leader said. Luke reached up and flicked the switch that would unfold the wings of his ship, locking them in the X position.
We're passing through their magnetic field,
Red Leader said, his voice over the comm crackling with interference. Doing okay, R2? Luke asked, adjusting his controls. The X-Wing began to bounce as if it had hit a small, invisible patch of asteroids. The droid chirped back, and the X-Wing translated his message on the nearby screen. All systems go.
Switch your deflectors on,
Red Leader said. Yikes, right. That would be helpful. Luke quickly did as he was told, glancing up through the canopy. Half the Death Star was shadowed by the planet Yavin. The other half illuminated by the soft glow of the nearby sun. Luke's hands clenched the controls as his breath caught at the back of his throat. Now that they were closer, Luke could make out the thousands of tiny structures lining the battle station's surface, the twinkling lights on different control stations and towers. The other ships spread around him, silently filling the endless space around them.
Red Leader, this is Gold Leader.
I copy, Gold Leader.
We're starting for the target shaft now.
Copy that. We're in position. I'm gonna cut across the axis and try to draw their fire.
Two groups of fighters peeled off from the others. Luke steered his ship down toward the Death Star, following his squadron into a sudden spray of laser fire from one of the space station's surface-mounted cannons.
Heavy fire,
Wedge reported.
I see it,
Red Leader said.
Stay low, everyone.
There was a system to the attack. Who would take the first shot at the exhaust port? Who would fall in line behind if the pilot couldn't finish his or her run? Gold Squadron would make the first attempt, with the other squadron covering them and trying to draw fire away from their ships. But Luke knew that when it came down to it, anyone could and should take the shot if he or she had it, including him. He threw his X-Wing down into a sharp nosedive, firing at one of the laser cannon towers. The structure burst into a fireball far bigger than he expected. And as hard as he yanked back on his controls, the ship wasn't pulling up fast enough to avoid it. Terror slammed into his chest.
Luke, pull up!
He heard Biggs cry. The X-Wing shuddered as it passed through the edge of the explosion, emerging with singed wings.
Are you all right?
Biggs called over the comm. Luke swallowed the lump in his throat, shaking off his fear. I got a little cooked, but I'm okay. This is Red 5. I'm going back in.
Watch yourself,
Red Leader barked.
There's a lot of fire coming from the right side of that deflection tower.
I'm on it,
Luke shot back. He spun his ship into another rapid dive, his concentration narrowing on the target. He fired along a stretch of the Death Star's surface,
wiping out small radars and towers as he went. The Death Star blurred through his window as he picked up speed. To his right, he saw Biggs make a similar dive into a field of domes and antennae, narrowly avoiding return fire from the battle station. Then there was that sound, that telltale screech. Luke craned his neck to confirm what his target screen and ears were telling him. TIE fighters. Dozens of them.
Enemy fighters at point four,
Red Leader called. Luke was vaguely aware of the control officer back on Yavin 4 repeating the information, asking for an update. He tried to imagine what the battle looked like to those below, whether their hearts were pounding as hard as his was.
Red 3!
Red Leader's voice interrupted Luke's thoughts. Red 3 was Biggs. Luke searched the surface of the Death Star, trying to locate his friend.
You've picked up an enemy fighter! Watch it! I can't see it!
Biggs called back.
Where is he?
Luke saw the TIE fighter on his friend's tail, just as Biggs dropped closer to the surface.
He's on me tight! I can't shake him! I can't shake him!
Biggs changed direction so quickly, Luke found himself flying upside down for half the dive to reach his friend.
Hang on, Biggs! I'm coming in!
Luke glanced over his shoulder at his astromech.
I need more speed, R2!
Whatever the droid did, it gave him another burst of power. When Luke had the TIE fighter in range, he didn't hesitate. He blew it into 1,000 pieces, scattering the enemy ship to the stars.
Got him!
Instead of relief, Biggs just sounded more panicked.
Pull in, Luke! Pull in!
Watch your back, Red 5!
Wedge chimed in.
There's a fighter above you, coming in!
In a move that would have broken his skyhopper in half, Luke forced his X-Wing into a steep climb. His ship's tail got a wallop of a blast from the TIE fighter, but he didn't lose control.
Status?
Red Leader called.
I'm hit, but not bad,
Luke said. There was another sudden explosion behind him, as a TIE fighter he hadn't seen was sent crashing into the Death Star. He caught a glimpse of Wedge's face through his canopy.
Thanks, Wedge, he said, shaken.
No problem.
More enemy fighters coming in,
Gold Leader reported.
We're making our run.
Copy that,
Red Leader said. As if that weren't enough bad news, the base back on Yavin 4 sent another terrifying update over the comms.
Death Star will be in range in 5 minutes.
Okay, Luke thought, holding his breath. 5 minutes was still plenty of time. They'd need only a few seconds, anyway, to get the actual shot off. Now it was just a matter of getting close enough to do it.
Switching to targeting computer,
Gold Leader said.
They're coming in too hot,
Gold 2 said.
Gold Leader, I can't!
Luke knew without confirming it on his screen that Gold 2's ship had been destroyed. Luke adjusted his course, swinging around to support the run.
Stay on target, Gold Leader,
Red Leader said.
Loosen up!
It was too late. Even with Luke's helmet visor down, the flare as Gold Leader's ship was blown apart stung Luke's eyes. An ache rippled through him as he scrambled to think of what to do next. Gold 5 moved into place to take the shot.
Red Leader, this is Base 1!
General Dodonna's voice came over the comm.
Keep half your group out of range for the next run.
Copy, Base 1,
Red Leader said.
Red 5, take Red 2 and 3. Hold up here and wait for my signal to start your run.
Understood,
Luke said, scanning the skirmish breaking out beneath him. Sweat worked its way down his face and made his flight suit stick to his back.
Keep your eyes open for those fighters,
Red Leader said.
There's too much interference. I can't get a read on my screen.
That from Red 10, who was trailing behind the squadron leader.
Red 5, can you see the enemy fighters from where you are?
Luke pulled himself forward in the cockpit, looking down through the canopy.
No sign of any... Wait. Coming in point 3-5!
Three TIE fighters were dogging the others, racing along the vane of the Death Star. The one at the center was slightly different from the others. Its wings curved at the edges instead of standing up straight.
I see them now,
Red 10 said.
I'm in range,
Red Leader said.
Target's coming up.
Luke's breath caught in his chest again. So close. They were so close.
Just hold them off a few more seconds.
I can't hold them.
Red 10's panic ripped through what little calm Luke had managed to keep. Red 10's X-Wing exploded in a shower of sparks, just as Red Leader fired his proton torpedoes at the exhaust port.
It's a hit!
Red 9 cried.
Negative.
Red Leader sounded like he was on the verge of tears.
It didn't go in. It just hit the surface. Red 5, prepare to make your run.
Hear that, R2? Luke said. Affirmative. Ready. Me too. He switched his comm back over to the others. Wedge, Biggs, close up. We're going in full throttle. There was a horrible scream as Red Leader crashed into a nearby tower, his ship taken down by the fire from the strange TIE fighter. Luke saw it all happen through his window and felt some of his hope shrivel up. We lost Red Leader, he reported back to base, though he had a feeling they already knew.
Proceed with your run, Red 5,
General Dodonna said.
You're in charge.
Right behind you, Wedge said.
Luke, at your speed, will you be able to pull out in time?
Despite everything, Luke managed a small smile. It'll be just like Beggar's Canyon back home. Don't tell me you're scared now. The three X-Wings powered forward, blasting every nearby structure they could. The Death Star's defenses returned fire, but Luke was flying past, catching only bits of the explosion. The ride got rougher, bouncing him around, rattling his brain inside his skull. Hold it together. Hold it together. A shot from one of the towers clipped him, jerking his ship. The sound of alarms filled the cockpit. R2! That stabilizer's broken loose again. See if you can't lock it down. He saw a shower of sparks out of the corner of his eye.
Blast it! I'm hit!
Wedge cried. Luke gritted his teeth. Get clear, Wedge! You can't do more good back there! They had already lost so many of their fighters. They couldn't afford to lose Wedge, too.
Sorry.
Wedge sounded agonized. He was a fighter to the core, Luke knew, and he would have gone down swinging if Luke had let him. Luke was in the trench now, racing along the same path Gold Leader and Red Leader had taken. His target screen flashed to life as he pulled it down to estimate the distance to the exhaust port. R2, try to increase the power again. The rattling grew worse. Pops and flashes of explosion lit either side of him.
Hurry, Luke! They're coming in much faster this time!
Biggs warned from behind him.
I can't hold them!
Luke tried looking back over his shoulder again as he felt the engines flare with new life. Good job, R2, he thought. Now!
Hurry up, Luke!
Biggs shouted.
Wait!
The force of the explosion nearly sent Luke hurtling nose first into the surface of the Death Star. His grip on the control slipped, just for a second, as shock and pain and anger and a thousand other emotions rocketed through him. Biggs was gone. Chapter 19. Luke was alone. The realization sliced through him, cutting him up inside. It hurt even to breathe. Biggs. It didn't feel real. How could Biggs be gone when Luke had only just found him again? Just like his aunt and uncle. Just like Ben. Even Han and Chewbacca had left.
Status, Red 5.
Luke shook himself, trying to break out of his stupor. His X-Wing leveled off as he regained full control. Tears tracked down his cheeks, but he wiped them away against his shoulder. This was a battle. This was their one chance. He couldn't let the others down by just packing it in and giving it all up. No matter how much his chest felt like it was about to cave in on itself. Still on track for my run, he said. His whole world became the targeting screen. As the TIE fighters raced up behind him, he rolled right and left to avoid their fire. A sudden chill overtook even his pulsing anxiety as he risked a glance back toward the TIE fighter with the angular wings. He felt like death itself was chasing him. "Don't think about that," he ordered himself. The yellow crosshairs on his targeting screen steadied as the exhaust port came into focus.
"Use the Force, Luke."
There it was again. Ben's voice filled his mind like a cloud of warm smoke. The Death Star's surface raced under him. He was hearing what he needed to hear. A comforting, familiar voice. Luke turned back toward the targeting device and adjusted it.
"Let go, Luke."
Again, he shook his head, but it was like Ben was sitting behind him, placing a calming hand on his shoulder.
"Let it go, Luke."
If the Force was as limitless as Ben had said, if it was with him in every moment, why couldn't Ben somehow be reaching across it to encourage him? He knew what Ben was asking him to do. Turn off the targeting screen. Trust his instincts. But this was it. His one shot. Yavin 4 was minutes away from being destroyed, and the rebellion along with it. Hadn't Red Leader tried to use the targeting system, though? It hadn't worked for him, even though the system had been perfectly calibrated. Luke turned the thought over in his mind, his pulse speeding as fast as his ship. And then there was that moment on the Falcon. Luke had been blinded and still managed to deflect the blast from the remote. That should have been impossible. But maybe that's what Ben had really been trying to tell him. The impossible could become possible if he was just willing to trust himself and the Force.
"Luke, trust me."
Grim determination pooled in the center of Luke's chest. He took a deep breath, closing his eyes and reaching for that place of warmth he had felt on the Falcon and in the simulator. It was like slipping into a refreshing stream after being caught under the pounding sun for too long. Luke reached up and flipped a switch. The targeting screen drew back with a click, clearing his field of vision.
"Luke, this is Base One."
General Dodonna's voice crackled over the comm.
"You've turned off your targeting computer. What's wrong?"
"Nothing," Luke said, feeling the last bit of tightness in his chest ease. "I'm all right." A burst of laser fire from the TIE fighter with the angular wings engulfed R2, sending sparks flying. Luke was sure he could hear the little droid wailing as he looked back over his shoulder, trying to assess the damage. "I've lost R2.
"The Death Star is in range of the planet," General Dodonna warned.
The trench narrowed slightly as Luke raced toward the exhaust port, his hand steady on the controls, his thumb flicking up the cover over the launch button for the proton torpedoes. He felt like he was being carried along by a powerful stream. But instead of being afraid, he was sure of himself, sure that he could succeed. Another explosion from behind him momentarily rocked his focus.
"Yahoo!"
A new voice joined the fray, overpowering the surprise sounds from Base One and the other pilots. A smile stretched across Luke's face. "Han!" Luke yelled. The Millennium Falcon was cruising behind him and had destroyed two of the TIE fighters and sent the third one, with the odd wings, spinning off into space. Luke could hear Chewbacca roaring in victory in the background.
"You're all clear, kid,"
Han said.
"Now let's blow this thing and go home."
Luke turned back to the task at hand, his finger over the trigger for the torpedoes. When the feeling came, a strong nudge from some invisible energy force, Luke slammed his thumb down on the trigger and fired. Chapter 20. Luke watched the twin bursts of light disappear into the exhaust port and pulled his X-Wing up and up and up out of the trench. The sigh he released shook his whole body. Luke blinked in disbelief, looking down again. It felt like he was coming out of a dream as he soared up toward the stars.
"Great shot, kid," Han cheered. "That was one in a million."
one of the other pilots confirmed the hit to the base on Yavin 4 in that single quiet second before everything changed. Luke knew that the moment would be imprinted on his memory forever. The way the ring of pure energy and fire blew out from the center of the battle station, ripping it apart into nothing more than shreds of metal and dust. The pressure of the detonation rocked the X-Wing, sending it bobbing. Just as quickly, his flight smoothed out again, and calm returned to the galaxy. The terrifying giant was gone, and with it, the weight of fear that had been pressing down on Luke.
"Remember," he heard Ben say, "the Force will be with you, always."
And it would be. Luke saw that now, feeling for the first time that all these parts of himself, the farm boy desperate to escape, the Jedi trainee, the Rebel Alliance's new piloting recruit, had fused. He saw the future spread out in front of him, opened wide. Luke's descent into Yavin 4's atmosphere was filled with the cheers and cries of the officers and staff in the control room. He brought his X-Wing down low over the jungle, cutting through the thick mist until the temples finally appeared in front of him. He waited his turn to pull into the hangar, falling behind the remainder of the red and gold squadrons. By the time he made it inside and initiated the landing procedures, the whole of the rebellion had flooded in to greet the pilots. He had never been so relieved to see all their faces. Luke scrambled to unhook his straps and push the canopy up. He tossed his helmet on the seat and was halfway down the ladder before he took his next breath.
"Luke!"
Leia ran toward him, a blur of white pushing through the crowd.
"Luke!"
He somehow managed to catch her as she slammed into him, laughing. He swung her around in a huge hug, setting her down just as Han came up behind them, grinning from ear to ear. The captain didn't resist as Luke pounded his back. "I knew it," Luke said, punching his shoulder for good measure. "I knew you'd come back." Han shrugged.
"Well, I wasn't gonna let you have all the credit."
Chewbacca growled behind Han, giving the captain a little shake.
"All right, all right. And because we wanted to make sure you got out of this mess in one piece. How does it feel to be a hero?"
"Oh my, R2!"
At 3PO's distressed voice, Luke spun on his heel. In all the excitement, he'd somehow managed to forget about the droid who'd had his back. A technician was lowering R2-D2 to the ground, carefully to avoid damaging him further. His white and blue body had been scorched nearly black. Wiring stuck out from his joints like climbing weeds, and one of his small arms had been blown off.
"Oh no," Luke said, rushing over.
"R2! R2, can you hear me? Say something."
The protocol droid turned to the mechanic.
"You can repair him, can't you?"
The technician nodded.
"We'll get to work on him right away."
"You must repair him. Sir, if any of my circuits or gears will help, I'll gladly donate them."
"He'll be all right," Luke said, resting a hand on the protocol droid's shoulder.
Facing the others again, he was surprised to see Leia smiling up at Han.
"I knew there was more to you than money."
"Don't tell anyone," he said with a wink. "Wouldn't want to ruin the surprise, your worship."
"Leia,"
she insisted, rolling her eyes.
"Just Leia."
Luke felt a smile tug at the corner of his lips as Wedge came up behind him and punched his shoulder.
"Nice shooting!
Couldn't have done it without you!" Luke had to shout to be heard over the songs and cheers that had broken out again. Wedge let himself be swept up into the group, pumping his fists in the air. For a moment, Luke hung back from the others, leaning against his ship. The atmosphere was humming, brimming with the excitement of everything they had accomplished. Still, he couldn't miss the holes, the empty places where people should have been, the squadron members who hadn't lived to see the Empire brought to its knees. Biggs, Ben, Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru, his father. "You were right," Luke thought, smiling again as Chewbacca hugged Leia and then lifted her right off her feet.
Ben, you were right. He had felt the Force. He didn't fully grasp it yet, and he knew there was so much more he needed to learn about himself and his capabilities. But now, he knew that the loved ones who had left him weren't so far away after all. He could feel them nearby, like beams of sunlight breaking through the clouds. When Luke closed his eyes, he saw Tatooine's twin suns sinking into a violet glow, burning on the horizon and casting the sand in brilliant gold.
He'd been so determined to leave, he'd refused to see the beauty of his home and everything it had done to make him who he was.
Hey, kid!
Han called, waving Luke over.
You ready for a real celebration?
The crowd was moving out of the hangar, headed deeper into the great temple. No doubt, Luke thought, to dig into what supply of food and drink they had left. Kid, Luke snorted. Maybe Han would always call him that. Maybe the older pilots would think he was just a rookie hotshot who got lucky. Maybe Leia would always think he was just a simple guy from a planet at the farthest edge of the galaxy, not refined or brilliant or particularly charming. But Luke knew now he was so much more, and that he had so much farther to go. This time, no one was going to hold him back. Epilogue.
When the sun rose golden and bright the next morning, it wasn't just on the ancient temples of Yavin 4, but on a new galaxy, one shining with possibilities. As the three figures stepped up to the entrance of the Grand Temple's throne room, each was overwhelmed by the towering stone walls and ceilings carved with intricate patterns. The jungle was in full bloom, coating the damp air with a rich floral scent. The soldiers of the rebellion had donned their finest, helmets and boots gleaming as the sunrise filtered through the ceiling above in shafts of light. They stood at attention on either side of the long aisle. Three figures stepped up to the entrance of the great chamber. Luke fidgeted in his new clothes, clasping his hands behind him to hide the way they shook just a little. He relaxed at the sound of Han's soft whistle next to him. Chewbacca urged them forward, to where a figure in white waited for them. Celebratory music began, and at the first cue of the trumpets, they started down the steps and toward the front of the throne room. Leia struggled to hide her smile as they strode toward her, wanting it to mean as much to them as it did to her. The rebellion had opened their arms to her, ushering her into a new home, giving her new purpose in helping guide their course. Near where she stood, two droids, perhaps the true heroes in all this, had been polished and shined and given a place of honor at the front of the ceremony. A repaired R2 began to bounce on his three legs, whistling in delight as Han, Chewbacca, and Luke came to stand before Leia. The medals had been placed with care on a tray. Leia turned, picked up the medals, and one by one placed them over the three heroes' heads. They turned back toward the soldiers and officers and took a bow together. The room erupted in cheers. The princess, the scoundrel, the farm boy, the senator, the smuggler, the dreamer, the rebel leader, the captain, the pilot. More than what they believed of themselves. More than what others saw of them. And together, a new hope for the future.
A note from author Alexandra Bracken. When you meet another Star Wars fan, the same question always comes up. When was the first time you watched the movies? I know exactly when it was for me. Father's Day, 1992. Dad got to decide which movie we'd watch together as a family, and for some reason, decided to pull out an old VHS of A New Hope. I was 5. I could not figure out what was happening and why everyone was running around, but I still remember with perfect clarity the first time I saw Darth Vader stride on board the Tantive IV, his cloak sweeping out behind him, music booming from our television speakers like thunder. I was terrified, but I was also in awe. The fights, the characters, the spaceships, it was like riding a roller coaster without ever leaving the couch. And once I had a seat on that ride, I never got off. See, my dad decided a year later that he wanted to start collecting the old toys, posters, and memorabilia from the 70s and 80s, from right when the films were released in theaters. Every weekend, the family would pile into our minivan and go to antique shows looking for old figurines, posters, even ceramic mugs of the characters' heads. We went to every major Star Wars convention. At one point, Dad was on a first-name basis with half the employees at our local Toys R Us. It was our family project, something we did together. It was us. I was so wrapped up in that universe that from age 10 to 12, all I was interested in reading was Star Wars novels. Nothing else seemed to hold my attention. So you can imagine how excited I was, understatement of the millennium, to be asked to write an adaptation of A New Hope for young readers, to retell the classic story from a new angle. The Empire Strikes Back is full of dark stakes and juicy family drama, and Return of the Jedi brings everything full circle. But A New Hope is more than the film that launched me into a galaxy far, far away. It's also the one that made me interested in storytelling in the first place. It was my first step into a much larger world. Star Wars so perfectly captures the classic hero's journey. The moment I figured that out, it electrified the story and characters for me in a whole new way, and I had something to study and observe. As a budding teen writer, someone who mostly dabbled in cringe-worthy poetry, this was huge. In fact, I didn't figure out how to write fiction, and that I even wanted to write my own original stories, until I tried my hand at writing Star Wars fan fiction, all of which is still online over a decade later, as I have tragically forgotten my password and can't log on to the site to delete it. As a writer, what comes first and foremost for me is always the characters. This, too, is because of Star Wars and the emotional impact it had on a very impressionable 5-year-old me. In A New Hope, we're given a cast of characters who, at first glance, seem to be simple archetypes. The young hero, the rogue, the princess in need of saving, the sidekicks, the wise man. But the older I got, the more complex the characters' motivations became to me. The more I understood how closely Star Wars is tied to the idea of family. Not just the Skywalkers, but the family Luke, Leia, Han, and the others found in one another, coming from incredibly different backgrounds to work together toward a common goal, hope. In the end, they needed one another, and this struggle, to see exactly what they were made of. By zooming in on Leia's, Han's, and finally Luke's perspective, I got to play with the idea of labels, princess, scoundrel, farm boy, and show that these three were so much more than what others, and even they themselves, believed they could be. I'm still stuck on the idea of family and the importance it plays, not only in the scope of the story, but in our community of fans around the world. This story binds us together, and it continues to be passed down from one generation to the next, kind of like a cultural heirloom. And in so many ways, Star Wars is the story of my family, too. That's never changed, even since my dad lost his battle to cancer a few years ago. We are all connected to this universe, and watching the films, or even just thinking about that first time our family watched A New Hope together, is enough for us to feel close to my dad. And if that's not the true power of the Force, then I don't know what is. One final note. For this adaptation, I pulled directly from three sources: my imagination, George Lucas's film script, and Brian Daley's masterful 1981 radio drama script. My thanks to Lucasfilm for their permission to weave all of this material together, and for the opportunity to bring my own vision of the classic story to life.
This is Mark Thompson. We hope you've enjoyed this unabridged production of Star Wars, A New Hope, The Princess, The Scoundrel, and The Farm Boy, an original retelling of Star Wars, A New Hope, by Alexandra Bracken. This program was directed by Kevin Thompson. Executive producer, Aaron Blank. Star Wars, A New Hope, The Princess, The Scoundrel, and The Farm Boy is a production of Lucasfilm Limited and registered or trademarked where indicated. Copyright 2015. All rights reserved. Used under authorization. Music composed by John Williams. Music publishing by Warner Tamerlane Publishing Corporation and Bantha Music. Music Master Production, copyright 2007, Lucasfilm Limited. This has been a Penguin Random House audio presentation. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.